It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on this Thursday, January 18th, 24 hours away from the March for Life. Our coverage begins tomorrow morning here on Morning Air with Matt Beardsley on the ground in Washington, D.C., and so many voices that you'll hear in our live coverage throughout the day. Coming up later on this morning, Monsignor Stuart Sweatland and our Morning Air edition of Go Ask Your Father. But right now, we are coming just off the heels of just terrific, terrific turnouts at the Focus conferences. Perhaps your sons and daughters are involved in the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. We really see the faith alive and the next generation of Catholics here in the United States of America, in many ways evangelizing us older baby boomers here when we see the passion of their faith. Let's talk about that right now with the CEO of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, joining us this morning, along with Monsignor James Patrick Shea, the president of the University of Mary, who also sits on the board of Focus. Curtis, good morning. Monsignor, good morning.
Good morning,
John. Great to be with you.
It's great to have you on. Curtis, we always point to Focus because we're just so amazed at the inspiration of the young people growing in leaps and bounds. The numbers are just astounding every single year. You saw who was in Chicago a couple of weeks ago. To what do you attribute this dramatic growth in Focus and also the orthodoxy? Yeah, let me use that word, the orthodoxy of the faith of these young people.
Well, John, I appreciate the question. And before I even start, I want to acknowledge that I'm on the radio with my boss, Monsignor Shea, so I have to behave really well here. So I'm honored to be with you both. You know, it's exciting. My testimony would be very simple. Catholicism works. It hasn't been tried very often, but when we actually articulate the faith with zeal, with joy, it works. It lights people's hearts and minds up, and we're watching that happen over and over again in what is probably perceived, and might be rightly perceived, as one of the darkest places in our culture, university campuses. And even there, we're watching the faith explode in the midst of the secularism and the hedonism of college campuses. Even in the midst of that, people are responding. And now we're seeing everywhere. One of the great things about the Focus Conference this year is that we had many, many people who weren't college students. We're opening this up to the broader public. And we had over 600 parishes that were represented at the event as well. And to be able to see that this works everywhere, Catholicism works. I'm excited about that.
Let's pick up on that point, Monsignor Shea. In the last hour, we were speaking with Bishop Hying in the Diocese of Gary, Indiana, who was saying the same thing. Catholicism works, but we tend to hide our faith in a little shoebox. It's intensely private to us, and we don't share that faith, and thus others don't see that Catholicism works. How do we get out of that comfort zone, Monsignor?
Well, first we have to acknowledge that that kind of faith loses its zest and isn't real faith in the end. In other words, the Christian faith, by its very nature, is something which is meant to be shared. Jesus sent his apostles on mission into the whole world. This is what I so admire about the Fellowship of Catholic University Students and why I'm so thrilled and honored to be involved and to see the growth of Focus both nationwide and to see the profound impact that it has on our campus at the University of Mary, the lives and the souls of our students, because they're catching the authentic Catholic faith, which is a faith which is always on mission, always, as our Holy Father says, always going out into the margins, always looking for the one who is in need of the saving message and the saving promises of Jesus Christ. And so that's what I would say, that faith that you keep to yourself becomes smothered and then it gasps for life. It can't survive.
Curtis, thanks be to Relevant Radio. I become more demonstrative in my faith, first as a listener to Relevant Radio and then being blessed to live here. So getting out of my own comfort zone, and perhaps that comfort zone is unique to us baby boomers. What can we learn from the members of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students? As again, we see their witness in Chicago this year, San Antonio last year. What do they see about their faith that perhaps we don't?
And let's mention Indianapolis next year. We'd love for you all to join us, anybody who's listening. But I would say this. Jesus says it this way, light shines. St. Augustine said it this way. He said, only the lover sings. When you are in love, when you realize your faith is essentially a love story, it's essentially an adventure, everything changes. And John, you are your own witness this morning, is that we are together and we're watching. As we begin to articulate our faith, we own it at a deeper level. One of the examples I like to use with our young people is, breathe all you want, but only in. You'll die. when you have to exhale, and a lot of Catholics are passive, they receive and receive and receive, but what is it? They share their faith. And when you articulate your faith, you own it at a deeper level. And guess what? Once you've articulated it, you're ready to inhale again. And so this vibrancy of a fully lived faith, which is both, I want to receive all that Jesus gives me through the church, and I want to share it with those who are in need, whatever the need might be. They might be hungry, they might be thirsty, they might be poor physically, or they might be poor spiritually. But when I reach out to people in need, and we're all in need, when we do that, we then are ready to receive more from our Lord. And that dynamic of a healthy give and take in our faith is what I think our young people in Focus are experiencing. And it is, you said it earlier, John, it's lighting their parents up. Their parents are saying, hey, wait a second, you've got something going on inside of you as a Catholic that I don't have inside of me, and I want that also. Can I have it? And the answer is absolutely, you were made for it.
Monsignor, let's pick up on that point that Curtis Martin just made as the founder and CEO of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, because we have seen it in the witness of your students on the campus of the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, and that is one of hope. They seem to have figured out hope that, and I'm being a little self-biographical here, that maybe I haven't figured out yet or still on the journey to figure out. What can we learn from young people about hope?
Well, our students are standing on the doorstep of their lives. And as they gaze out at the world into which they're headed, in which they already belong to in meaningful ways, that world isn't getting any less complicated. And there are plenty of shadows and storms, and there's plenty of darkness in it. But at the same time, the confidence that comes from following Jesus Christ, that confidence engenders a kind of hope which is mingled with a kind of invincible joy. And I think what you see in students who have been touched by the gospel in a profound way and who really are living it is that they're already getting the deepest sense of what it means to be a human being and a disciple well, and that's that we have to give our lives away. When Curtis talks about exhaling, I'm always telling our students, unless you find a way to give your life away in love, you'll never be happy, you'll never find joy, meaning, and satisfaction in your life. And I return here, and John, I know I've quoted this on the program before, but I was so moved when I heard Bishop Sarton at the funeral homily of Cardinal George, who was, of course, a great supporter and fan of Relevant Radio. At that funeral, he reminded us that Cardinal George was deeply convicted that the only thing we take with us when we die is what we've given away. And the only things that endure are our relationships with God and with each other. And so as a result, when that profound conviction comes in, our students are able to live in hope, because ultimately hope, John, for the Christian, for the follower of Jesus, hope is about heaven. It's about our eternal destiny. It's about what happens when we close our eyes in death and we open them again to see the face of the one who loves us best, and what happens in that moment. And our whole lives are preparation for that. And so our students live in hope because they understand that their lives are meant to be lived in such a way that they're preparing for eternity. And when we remember that, every day of our life, every minute, every time we take a breath, changes.
Gentlemen, we're talking about enthusiasm for sharing the faith, and that seems to come a little more natural for some Protestant denominations. Is there something to be learned there?
Well, I think that what we see in many of our evangelical brothers and sisters is that they found this. They are wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ. We know they're missing some of the sacraments, despite the fact that they don't have access to the fullness of grace that we as Catholics do. They've tapped into certain things, and I would argue that the joy of giving oneself away and the deep commitment to the narrative of salvation history in Scripture are two things that fuel their lives that we as Catholics should recognize. Those are not Protestant realities. Those are Christian realities or Catholic realities. I always like to tell my Protestant friends, you know, we Catholics wrote the New Testament. And so to be deep in Scripture is to come to a deeper knowledge of Jesus. And I don't mean only a knowledge about Jesus, knowing facts about Jesus, as important as that is, but a knowing in the sense of relationship, to be in relationship with Jesus. Jerome said many years ago, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, and we would affirm that the opposite is also true. Knowledge of Scripture is knowledge of Christ. And so that sense, and the desire to share explicitly that Jesus Christ wants to be in your life, is your Savior, and that if you gave your life to him, it would change your life and your eternal destiny, as Monsignor said earlier. These are things that I think our evangelical brothers and sisters have focused on wisely, and we, as Catholics, should also. At the same time, we should be inviting our brothers and sisters or evangelicals to the rest of the faith, to the fullness of Christ in the Eucharist, to the ability to be able to receive the freedom that comes in confession, and the deep sense of trust and confidence in God's revelation that the Church gives us by her guidance throughout the centuries.
We're spending go ahead, Monsignor.
This is
yes.
What Focus does so beautifully. They bring together that genius of salvation history and its narrative and the personal relationship with the Lord and the ability to give oneself away, and they marry it to where they place it within its proper context, which is in the life of the Church and the practice of the sacraments, so that Catholic life is alive for these young people.
We're spending time with Monsignor James Patrick Shea, the president of the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, and also Curtis Martin, the founder and CEO of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, talking about the power of Focus and the faith of the young people in Focus. Monsignor Shea was just mentioning Cardinal George. He would have been 81 last Tuesday. The only thing that we take with us when we die is what we have given away. There is always a simplicity in the catechesis of Cardinal George. Is that something that the young people in Focus have figured out, that us older folks kind of complicate our Catholicism, and they see the true authenticity and the beauty and the simplicity of it and live that way?
I would like to say that we're trying to commit ourselves to what we like to call the method modeled by the Master. And Jesus in his teaching is very simple, but infinitely deep. He tells stories, but they touch the human heart. And I do think that the faith is deep enough that anyone could drown in it, but it's simple enough that even the most simple of us can be fully engaged. And so we don't want to make it overly complex. Which the experts need to do, and I'm thank God for great theologians, but we want to talk to men and women where they are. And Jesus gives us this great example in the way that he teaches, which is simple. It's story-based. The Catholic Church historically has been the best storyteller in the history of the world. In the last couple of generations, we've ceded that to Hollywood and to Madison Avenue. We need to reclaim the ability to tell the story, because the Catholic story, that of salvation history, is the greatest story ever told.
And I would say this, the students of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students are experiencing that, just as you suggest, John, but I also witnessed them experiencing it at events like the SLS 18, which we talked about recently, which was in Chicago. Curtis Martin and his team pulled together this group of extraordinary speakers who shared the gospel just in that way, in a deeply life-transforming way. And I have to say, Curtis, and I know I sent you a message about this, but Curtis himself, on the final night of the conference, got up and spoke. And when I hear Curtis speak to young people, I feel like there's an anointing there. He said that this generation of Catholics is responsible for this generation of people. And that simple message, that message of responsibility, that message of invitation, that thrilling message of adventure, that's what moves the young heart and mind. And by the way, it moves older hearts and minds too, because it's essential to the whole mission of Jesus and our participation in it. And so Curtis, I think, is an exemplar of this, because the way that he presents the message and the invitation, and the way that he lights a flame in the hearts of young people, that's emblematic of everything that Focus does. It's why it's making such a great difference.
A great difference, as are you on the campus of the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, Monsignor James Patrick Shea.